In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That first reading from Jeremiah, in that reading we heard Jeremiah describes how God's call came to him. And one of the things I noticed about that was that the Lord begins by telling Jeremiah he had actually created him quite specifically to be a prophet to the nations. So the Lord says to Jeremiah, he knew him even before he formed him in the womb. So you might disagree with me on this, but I don't think Jeremiah was any different from any of the rest of us in this respect. That is that we human beings do not just happen into this world, but we exist in God's mind before he causes us to develop in our mother's womb. And so it is that God is telling Jeremiah, before you were born, I called you to this role. And I think that what this means is that when God calls you or calls me to do something, that thing is not just a matter of chance, but that just the same with Jeremiah, God plans us, he designs us at the beginning so that we are going to be able to do the things that he calls us to do. However, like Jeremiah, we might not be instantly enthusiastic about the things that he calls us to do. And so Jeremiah's instincts, as we heard, were not to do what God wanted. Instead, Jeremiah, I guess he was thinking that his job or his calling had to result in failure, that he was calling these people to do what God wanted, and he knew they were very, very, very set in their materialistic ways, determined to do their own thing and not take any notice of any religious strictures from God, which is exactly like what the people of New Zealand are today. You know, any of us think there'd be a high chance of success if we go out and call the people of New Zealand to repent? What would you think the chances of success would be? That's how it was for Jeremiah. So the excuse that Jeremiah used to God as to why he should not do this thing, he says, I don't really know how to speak. I am too young. And that sounded, I'm sure, really reasonable to him. And I think that there are always things that to us can sound pretty good excuses, really, why we shouldn't do what God wants us to do. Things like, I'm not trained to do it. And actually, I've got other things that I'm committed to doing, things I think I'm sure I am meant to do. And possibly the older person gets, the more practiced they get at thinking of reasons for why they should not do what God wants them to do. But just as with Jeremiah, God plans and he designed us and he watched over our development as child, young people, so that we would grow into a person who is able to do the things that God wants us to do. So that was Jeremiah, and he was called to speak out God's message. Jesus' call now was different. It was not just to speak, he did speak, but actually he was called primarily to live in a way that showed who God is and what God is like. So in other words, Jesus is not just another prophet. The prophet has a message from God. But Jesus is God the Son, born into this world to live amongst us as one of us, but living a perfect life full of goodness, with no sin of any kind, and totally in sync and rhythm and step with God. And one of the outcomes of that perfect human life was that Jesus was able to carry our sins. He had none of his own, so that we could be set free from our sins and weaknesses to live as God's children. And what we see, not only in this place, but we do see it in John chapter 14 and verse 9, see, Jesus told his disciples that anybody who had seen him had also seen God the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And what that means is that in Jesus' life and actions, we see exactly what God is like. And God did not start off with Jesus, that Jesus did not come into this world the next day after Adam and Eve had sinned. There was quite a gap during which time God let the people grow an understanding of who he is. And so by the time of Moses, they were given the Ten Commandments of God that show something of God's character, God's moral character. And as time went on, the prophets came, and one of the prophets was Micah, said, you know, God wants you to love mercy. He wants you to act justly and to walk humbly with your God. So Jesus comes after all this information has been imparted to the people. And so the reason he comes is not really so much to add to the message. He's called to live out the perfect human life. And so what did that look like, that life? Well, in the reading we just had from Luke chapter 13, we heard how, in spite of the fact that it was a Sabbath day, a day on which they're commanded to do no work, Jesus healed this woman who had been horribly crippled for 18 years. And when we just say it like that, it doesn't sound, but the way Luke describes it, he was a doctor and he had an eye for detail. She was bent double. There's nobody here in this building that's bent double. How horrible it would be to be bent double. How painful it would be to be bent double. She had suffered for many years, and out of compassion for her suffering, Jesus healed her. So this is Jesus obeying God's call to show people what God is like. This is what God is like. He heals, and he wants to heal people who are suffering terribly. So Jesus lived out his life as a child of God, and actually he calls you and he calls me to do the same. And if what we see in Jesus wins us over, if we become convinced that that Jesus is good, Jesus is perfect, and if we're really grateful to him for what we think he's done for us, then we want to cooperate with him. And I think we will respond to his call to follow him, which means that we also live out our lives as children of God. So this is now our calling to be a child of God. Now, just the same as this woman in the reading we heard about, you know, Jesus deals with her because she's in terrible suffering. So there is a reason why she connected with Jesus. I think there is likely to be a reason why we have come to Jesus too. So it may be for some of us here that Jesus is quite the most inspirational person we've ever come across. Or it might be that our lives lacked some sense of purpose, and we have found that Jesus guides us to do things that bring purpose into our lives. Or it might be like this woman, that we have some really quite deep need and we came to Jesus for help. So whatever it is that brought us to Jesus, he just never leaves us as we are, but calls us on to do things that are going to be helpful to other people. And just as Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, the things that Jesus asks us to do are things that fit how God has created us. So God created us with certain genetic information inside us. God also arranged who our parents are, that kind of mould us and shape us a bit in a particular direction. So God does all these things to enable us to grow into the person who is able to do what he calls us to do. And the God who created this vast universe in which we live does not create us with a single skill, but creates us with actually a great number of things that we are able to do. And if you and I then want to please God as much as possible and make our lives as helpful to others as possible, then we will listen to whatever Jesus asks us to do and we will do those things. And Jesus is kind, and he knows how to relate to us, to draw out of us the very best that there is in us, and to grow us into the very best kind of possible people we can be. The key thing is, just as Jeremiah did what God asked him to do, that we also do as Jesus asks us to do. And we may think, but I don't really know what he wants me to do. I think when we honestly would like to know what he wants us to do, that Jesus is actually very smart, and very skilled at guiding us to do the things that he wants us to do. And I want to say that his skill in being able to guide human beings is far, far greater than our capacity to make mistakes. So if that's a contest of, is his ability to guide me greater than my ability to get it wrong? Well, of course it's greater. And so when I went to my last parish, I suppose like any vicar going to a new parish, and you wonder, what are the things I'm supposed to do in this place that is going to be most helpful to these people? And this was a church that urgently needed some more people in the church. It was a very small congregation. So I prayed for God to guide me and got on with doing the things that seemed to be obvious things to do. And nothing much happened, but after a couple of years, one day, this 35-year-old Maori man came to the door of the church and said to me, I need help. And like many Pākehā men, particularly of my generation, carry quite a guilt trip around with us about the way Maori have been treated over the years. And I remember my father saying to my sisters, if you marry a Maori, I will disinherit you. So there was a kind of prejudice I grew up with. And so he was this man who said he'd just been released from prison, had no money or no accommodation, at least that's what he said to me. And so I found a motel for him to stay in for a few days, paid for him to stay there, and then I rang an organisation called Prison Fellowship. And I really wanted to unload this person onto people who knew a bit more about this than I did, and they were very keen for me not to unload him, and very keen just to tell me what I could do. And so they told me what I needed to do so that he got to be on a job seeker's benefit, which meant he had a steady income, also meant he was in the social welfare system and would be able to find a place where he could live. And so I put a lot of time and effort into helping that man, who came to church regularly to let me know that my efforts weren't wasted, so that the flow of money would continue, you see. And and one day I found him when he wasn't expecting me to come. He was drinking meths. And it wasn't because he didn't have any food. I'd been on quite a shopping spree with him the previous day and filled his fridge with food. So that kind of like was a moment of truth for me, that I could not have done more to try and be helpful to this man than I had done. But it wasn't enough. And so I suppose it was this kind of moment of truth that Bishop Justin and his wife had when they were trying to help street people, and they discovered no matter what they did, it wasn't enough. It didn't change them, didn't make them different kind of people, and what was really needed was some kind of community where the whole community were helpful to them and they were actually taken out of the environment they were in. And so I guess I understood that I was not the person, or this was not what how God wanted me to spend the rest of my life devoted to paying attention to this one man, and our parish did not have a community. So back I went to praying and paying attention to whatever God might show me. And what happened fairly shortly after that was international students started coming to this church. So fairly quickly I started a Bible study group, a weekly study group that they came to, and that group just grew and it grew and it grew. And actually it grew so that they became a community of support from each other. So international students, they're away from their home, away from their own support systems, and they really are particularly open to Christian things. And so that was a very fruitful ministry. It worked. And I suppose I'm wanting to say that the man newly released from prison had material needs that I was able to help. But in terms of God's calling on my life, what my ministry was to be in that parish, did seem clear to me that Jesus was not calling me to ministry to newly released prisoners. But it did seem like he was calling me to minister to international students who lived nearby. And so I guess I'm wanting to say that my experience is that when Jesus calls me, I do not always get it right the first time or even the second time, but that if I persist and listen to what he shows me and what he puts in front of me, at some point God does show me what I am to do. And so I want to pray that now for you as well as for me, that God will not only call us but show us what it is that he wants us to do. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that actually you treasure us, that you created us and you call us to live our lives in a way that brings joy to God, actually brings love and help to others, but actually brings a deep sense of fulfillment to ourselves as well. Pray that you will open our eyes and our ears to hear, to see the things you are asking us to do, and give us grace, like Jeremiah, to say yes to your call to our lives. This I ask in your name. Amen.